All right, let's begin. It says in the pasuk, pasuk yud aleph. I hope you see it on the screen. Do you see it on the screen? Can you see this on the screen? Oh, it's not. I didn't share the screen yet. Oh no, I didn't share. Let's see. It's not shared yet. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Hopefully you can see it. I hope you can see this. It says in the pasuk Yud Aleph, they appointed upon the Jewish people sarei, princes of misim. Now the word sarei is not really a good word. The word sarei normally has a connotation of a prince. Over here we're talking about a task master. It's not the same thing as a prince. This is an unusual term to use the word sarei misim. You would say vaisimulava shaitrim. Shaitrim. What's the word sarei? A prince. A sar. You don't appoint princes to go collect taxes. There's a lot of depth in what was going on over here. There's a lot more than meets the eye. In the kindergarten, they teach us a very simplistic translation of these psukim. And it's very sad that we don't mature and learn the depth of what these words mean. But they appointed over here Sarei Misim, a leader of Sarei princes of Misim taxes, Leman, Ano Yisrael Besiv Lesav, in order to afflict them in their burdens. Vayiven Orei Miskenes Lefaro, they built storage facilities. Leparo is piece of Yisram, says two storage facilities. Two cities, these are called cities. There's a city called Pisa, there's a city called Rams. Let's see if we have Rashi. Rashi says it's Pasuk Yud Aleph. Olav al ha'om, upon him. Now, Olav, again, we have the same exact problem we had yesterday. Olav is B'lashoyin Yochid. So they appointed upon him, Vayasimu Alehem, upon them. Why is it in the singular? So Rashi comes to the rescue. Olav means al ha'om, upon the people. Okay, Misim Lashon Mas, tax. Sodim, leaders, princes, shagoyvim lumehem hamas. It almost sounds like it's a dignified thing to work for the IRS. It's the best job in the country. You work for the IRS, you're a sar. Umahu hamas, what's the tax? Shayivnu ori miskos lefar, they shall build storage, miskoin. Okay, this is a very good word. And miskoin lefar, they shall build storage facilities, cities of storage lefaro. Leman, anoisoi, in order to afflict anoisoi, to afflict him. B'lashon Yochid, who is the Anasar going on? It's going on Allah on the people. The people. B'siv loisam, in the burden shel Mitzrayim. Okay, so he's telling us over here is that Paro appointed upon the Jewish people, upon the nation, tax collectors, and the purpose of the tax collectors was to collect. They shall build cities, storage cities, and the storage cities, the goal of the storage cities was to bring about affliction to the Jewish people by carrying the burdens of Egypt. Ore miskinois, cities of storage, ketargumai, what's the, we have to see the targum, okay, storage, v'chein l'cha, v'chein leich, ba, el ha-soichein hazeh, pasuk in Yeshaya, who is this, a gizbar ha-memune al ha-yitzaros. In the context of that pasuk, they're referring to a gizbar, an officer, that is memune, that is appointed upon Ha'itzrois, upon the storage facilities of the king. As Pisam yes Ramses, so Shlocho Yerushalim mitchil l'kach, Pisam and Ramses was not fitting to go to use the storage facilities. Va'asu'um chazokois ubitzuas lo'itzar, and they made these cities into strong fortresses in order to store things. Why is Raj telling us this? Why is this relevant? I don't know. We have to see why that is relevant. Let's see over here the pasuk, the Targum pasuk Yud Aleph. It says Umaniu, and they point at Lehoin Shultoinin. Okay, Shultoinin, that's the Sore. That's the Shultoin, is a leader, a ruler. Again, see the word Shultoin is not as a ruler. What do you mean a ruler? You don't need a ruler to collect taxes. You have to collect taxes, you work for the IRS, and you don't have any authority. The word Shultoin has a connotation of a very, very great authority. Exactly what the word Sore means. Okay, Mav Ashin, Bidil Mav Ashin. What's Mav Ashin? That means taxes. Bidil means Laman, La'an no Ehoin, to afflict them. Beful chon hoin in their service. See, this is something very, very important. In the pul chon hoin, the word besivloisam, we translate it as their burden. That's not what it says here in the Targum. The Targum translates the word beful chon hoin is work, to afflict the Jewish people in the work of Egypt. What does that mean? We have to see in the parish. Uvenoi kirve, they build cities, base otre, storage facilities, they build cities, that place of storage. So notice he has two words. He adds a word over here that's extra. He says over here they built Ore. Ore is a kirve, is a city. And then when it comes to Miskenois, he says base oitzre, a bias, a place of storage. Lefaro, Yos, what are the names? Yos, peace and the Yos, Saddam says. These are the two storage facilities. Okay, now let's see over here what it says. What it says over here in the parish of this pasuk Gedalef. Umaniu. The word umaniu means an appointment. Lashon pekidois usrora. The ava pishotergim by yesimu huvai veshaviu. So he's asking a question that we know elsewhere in Bereshis, that the word vayosimu, the correct translation, or the translation that the Targum elsewhere uses, the word vishaviv shaveh, is to set. Sima means to set. Now there are two words which are very similar. The word nesina and the word sima. What's the difference between these two words? The difference is nesina is general sloppy expression of putting something down. Person comes into your house, let's say the delivery man comes into your house, he has a package, you ordered something from Moshe's supermarket or from Glatmart, and they come into your home. Where should we put the boxes? Where should we put your order? Put it down anywhere. That's called the nesina. If you tell the delivery people, put the boxes exactly in this location, in this spot, on this table, on this chair, in this corner, and you're very specific where you want them to put the delivery, that's called a sima. That's called a sima. So the word vayasimu should be translated with the word vishaviu, but yet here he does not do, here he says the word over here, va'umaniu. And what does that mean? So he explains, v'chein, Targum fi akavani, v'chein soim tosimu lachamelech targim mino timnei ala malka. So it seems like that when you're dealing with a human being, you don't use the word nesina. It's, even though the word vayosimu normally means with precision, okay, we have to, you know, you could darshan that when Paro appointed tax collectors or taskmasters, he was very precise. He knew exactly who he was appointing who would be effective in squeezing out the most possible labor from the Jewish people and inflicting upon them the most harm. And that's really why it says Vayasimu. He didn't just let anyone have the job. He interviewed all of the people that he would appoint to be the ones that would make sure the job gets done, because he wanted wicked people, people that were nasty, that would do the most harm to the frame of mind, to the minds of the Jewish people when they were doing this slave labor. Now, the next word over here is Alehud upon them, Lashon Rabim, plural. So the Targum as Kedarkai, he always likes to mix up the tenses. Allah, Rashi told us, means Allah upon him. Who is the him? The nation, Klal Yisrael. The Targum translates it Lashon Rabim because it means upon the people. The Yafi Shloshon Akasuhu Allah, Lashon Yachid, Ayin Soita, Alehem, Miboylei, the Tirtsu, Sha'olav, Musaf Al Paro, Shatolu Loy Malban Betsavaroi, Al Unkelis Tirgim, Kipshutai, Ay Mashkosav El. Now, this is over here going on to, we're over here, this is a piece of Gemara. The Gemara asked the question. The question is, why does it say the word Olav Belashim Yachid? They Vayosimu, and they put Olav upon him. So Rashi was bothered. It should say the word Alehem. Rashi answers, Al Ha'om, upon the people, the collective noun, upon the nation. Targum says, no, Olav, he says, Alehoin, upon them, Belashim Rabim. But over here in the parish, he just points out that the Gemara asked this question. why does it say the word Allah b'lashon Yachid, not b'lashon Rabban? The Gemara answers that when Paro first enslaved the Jewish people, he did it in a very talented way. What do we mean? Paro went out into the field, and he said, "I'm also going to work. We have a very great need. It's for the good of the country. Everyone has to work. I'm also going to work." So Paro put upon his own shoulders. He went out into the field. He collected straw. He mixed it with cement. He made a brick, and he put the brick upon his own shoulder. Allah means upon him. Him, he refers to Paro. And you see, it's not so bad to work. Even I, the king of Egypt, I'm also willing to work in the field to collect straw, to make cement, to make a brick, and to lay the brick in the foundation for the city. I'm also willing to do hard labor. So no one here should feel embarrassed, should feel that it's beneath them to work. And through this technique, he got all the people, everyone started to do the work. Everyone ended up following in his ways, this was his method of how he was able to bring everyone in Klal Yisrael into labor. And then once already they were doing the work, that's when he made it very difficult. He enslaved them and he made it more difficult for them. Okay, next. Then it says he put upon them Alehoin. Next, Shiltoinin. We asked the question, why does it say Sorei? A tax collector is not the type of person you would expect to have the term a prince. So it says Shiltoinin, and indeed the Targum says it means a ruler. A tax collector is a ruler. A tax collector is a city job. Rashi there says Melech. We don't find Mikra Shultanim Yisrael El Melech V'Sarim. The Targum Shulchem Rav Ravin. Okay, so he's not really explaining. He's not coming over here to explain what's going on over here. This is a term that we do not find by the Jews. This term of Shultoin is only a term that we find in reference to the non-Jews. Rashi tells us in Rashi, who said, because of Rashi, in Zechariah, we didn't get there yet. You see that? We're learning the morning in Zechariah, only the Pasuk Ches. So we have to remember this. We have to remember this Pasuk. In Zechariah, Perikud, Gimel, Pasuk, Zion, we're going to learn that the Rashi will tell us there that the word Shultoin is never ever in Tanakh or anywhere in Chazal used in reference to a Jew. A Jew is not a Shultoin. The equivalent of a Shultoin by a non-Jew is the word Rav Ravin. Rav Ravin, a master. And here we're dealing with non-Jews. Sorei Misim, it means Shultoinim. Now here's what's very interesting about this Targum, because this appears to be problematic. Why? What do Chazal tell us? Chazal tells us who the Noiksim, Dasan Va'aviram. See, over here he's telling us that the Sorei Misim were also the Noiksim. Okay, there are two different terms. There's Sorei Misim, and there were later what's called the Noiksim, the taskmasters. And he writes here that the Noiksim, he writes, are also called, Hanoiksim, are also translated by the Targum as Shultoinin. And Rashi in Zechariah says that the word Shultoinin is never ever used by a Jew. It's only used by a Gentile. Because by a Jew we use the term Rav Ravin. Problem. Chazal seemed to indicate that who were the Noiksim? Dasan Va'aviram. Dasan Va'aviram were Jews. They were Jews. And in fact, Chazal said the reason why Dasan Va'aviram always survived, despite all of the trouble they made, was in the merit of being whipped for the Jews. Very, very famous Chazal is that when Paro said to Dasan Va'aviram, who were the Noiksim, why didn't they finish the quota of bricks? Why is the construction delayed? And Dasan Va'aviram would say, I don't know. So what happened? Paro took out his whip, and he whipped Dasan Va'aviram. Dosan va'avir, if they really wanted, they could have forced the Jewish people to work harder and to get the job done faster. And by doing so, Dosan va'avir would have saved themselves from Paro's wrath. But Dosan va'avir said, don't make them work, we're not going to make them work so hard. If Paro gets angry and wants to lash out, good, so let him whip us. We're not going to go and abuse our fellow brethren. We'll take the whipping. And that merit that they suffered for their fellow Jews, even though they were evil, Rosha Lama Sakereyecha, Rosha Kemoyscha, even though they were Rishoim, what happened? They survived. They were always around another day to put up to make trouble. Because they accepted the beatings instead of the Jewish people. If that's the case, so how then can the Targum, how can then can Rashi in Zechariah state that we don't find the word Noiksim in reference to a Jew? We find the word Noiksim only in reference to a non-Jew. There seems to be a contradiction, and this requires explanation. Unless you want to say is that Dosan Vaviram, they were complicated people. On the one hand, they were good, they accepted the beatings. But on the other hand, they didn't behave. They didn't behave the way they should. Look, the Pasuk says, Rosha Lama Sake Re'echa Chazal Say Rosha Kimoyscha. At the end of the day, Dosan Va'avidim, where are they? They're with Koirach. The earth opened up, swallowed them up. It says, Veferish the Pasuk, Dosan Va'avidim been swallowed up by the earth. Koirach, there's a discussion that Koirach has Zuchusim. Koirach has Enikloch, Shmuel. Shmuel, the one that anointed all the two kings, he was a descendant of Koirach. But it doesn't say anywhere about the Yichus, the descendants of Dosan Va'aviron. We don't find any good coming from Dosan Va'aviron. But on the other hand, they lived a long life, they survived. They were very complicated people. On the one hand, we're calling them over Noiksim, they're calling them Shultaitim, which is an expression that's of a non-Jew. On the other hand, we know they're complicated people. It's not so clear exactly where they stood. Okay, let's now go forward. Next expression. It says Mav Ashin. Okay, so it says over here, what was the word, the part of the over here? So it says, Leman Anoisoi Besiv Loisam. What does the word Besiv Loisam mean? It means burdens. Besiv Loisam. So Rashi, again, going back to Rashi, Rashi said, what's the word Besiv Loisam? Leman Besiv Loisam Shel Mitzrayim. Rashi really does not tell us what the word Besiv Loisam means. The Targum uses the word Mach Ashin, which means, let me make sure I'm saying the right thing. Let's go back and make sure I'm saying the right thing over here. Alein Shultoinin Mav Ashin. Excuse me. Okay, it says over here, Shultoinin Mav Ashin. Mav Ashin means to torture them. Wait, I'm sorry. Leman, what's going on over here? Mav Ashin means taxes. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. The word Mav Ashin means misim, taxes. Now Rashi says the word masim, loshon mas. Sodim shagov mohem mas. Umav mas. What's the tax? Tax to go build the Oremitzkos Lefara. How does the Targum translate the word misim? He translates it with the word Mav Ashin. What does that word mean? So it says over here something different. Mireim, evil. The word Mavish means like an Avera. It's using the Gemara to mean you've done something very ugly. Ugly or something very evil. Mireim, evil. Aval Yiyu L'chol L'mas. Tegum K'losh Nakasav. Okay, that's another, whatever that positive means. So what's going on over here? Yesh, I'm someone say. The word mas, we're learning over something very good today, that there is a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and the Unkelis as to the translation of the word misim. And the word misim, according to the Targum, means to melt. Leman, what's the words over here? Leman, sorry, misim, officers, that would cause the Jewish people to melt, to break, to implode, to meltdown, have a meltdown. The purpose of the prince is not to collect tax. Look at Rashi. Now we can appreciate Rashi. Everything we always learn, Rashi is always responding to the Targum. Targum is telling us the word Sarei Nisim means officers that are going to cause the Jewish people to have a meltdown. Mav Ishin, ugliness. Mirayim, Aval Yulucha Lamas Targum Kalash Nakasav Yeshem Sam Zeshusav and Kalish Lash Nakasav Masim Kamo, Velo Yimas. Not to melt, es levav echav sheratzu lehameis gufam. They wanted to cause their bodies to melt. Al yedei avoidas perach. That's one translation for the Targum. V'yeshem. Some want to say shemefarish masim loshon maus, disgusting. Ubozui shoresh mosas maus. It's maus. Machalifim zeze. Okay, the word mosos and maus. Is mischalfim ze im ze, they can be interchanged. Now, what do we mean over here? Yimasu amayim, yimasu kemo mayim, water, that is, hu kemo yim soisu, v'chol melocha nim v'za v'nameis, something that is ugly, hu kemo v'nameis. Now, what does this mean over here? V'yitam, sorei masim, sorim nim osim, v'nivzim asher snagdu b'achzorius. So according to this translation, when it says they put a posori misim, the word misim is referring backwards to the word sorei. Officers that were cruel, officers that were ugly, ugly in midos, sorim nim osim, detestable people, the bottom of the barrel, people that are just lowlifes. The nivzim asher hisnagu biachzorius, they conduct themselves with cruelty. Okay, so therefore now we have over here lemaskana, we have over here pretty much three translations of the word, of this word. We read over here vayasimul of sode, power appointed a love upon him. According to Rashi, this means upon the Jewish people. Sorei, officers. Misim, Rashi, officers who will collect tax. And what is the tax? The tax is told to us at the end of the pasuk. Pisaim and Ramses. That's the tax. To build storage, that's the tax. Manual labor. Targum does not agree. Targum learns the word misim. He uses a different word. He uses officers. Where's the pasuk over here? Shiltoinin. Mav ashin. The word mavish means ugly. It's a vague term. Ugly basically ugly, disgusting. So what does that mean? It can mean one of two things. Either the word nisim, the subject of the word nisim, is the Jewish people. And we're then going to understand the word nisim to mean to melt. And then the pasuk would mean that the power appointed officers whose directive, whose goal, whose mandate was to cause the Jewish people to dissolve, to have a meltdown, to disintegrate due to the crushing labor. Or we can suggest, or the Matzor is explaining that when the Targum says Mav Ashin, what he really means to say is that it's coming to modify the Sorei. The subject of the word Nisim are the Sorei. The Sarei were lowlives, they were criminals, they were wicked people, cruel people, and they relished in watching Klal Yisrael suffer. So we have over here a much more sophisticated translation of the word Misim than we ever had just by learning Rashi, and seeing how Rashi and the Targum, they disagree on the translation. Does it mean a tax, or does it mean the word Mav'ish? And if indeed it does mean the word Mavish, how does that fit into the Pasuk? And to that, the Ma'atzari has done for us a wonder by telling us it means either needs to melt, thus the subject would be the Jewish people, or it means cruel, which then the subject would be the Egyptian officers. Okay, now we go to the next part of the Targum. And the next part of the Targum says that they built, that the purpose was le'ano ehoin, to afflict them. Okay, now here again the same Losh Rabin, even though Alpisha Kos Shalosha Koshov Anois Anois, even though it says the word Anoisoi, which is Bulashon Yachid, Hulashon Yachid, it doesn't matter. It means Bulashon, it's the collective noun, and that's why he translates it Bulashon Rabim. The Yomnam, however, Kvarik should have Saitam, Anois Sami Boile, also this is a piece of Gemara. It should have said Bulashon Rabim, it's Boile, the Tiritsu Alpi Drush. See that? Drush. Not the only one has Drush. They have Drush. Gemara has Drush here. What's the Drush? What is the Drush? That when it says Bloshon Yachid, Labad Anaisoi Lefaro, in order, Shetolu Loi Levena Bitsavar. Now, he said the same thing that they said before Olaf. Leman Anaisoi Lefaro. What does that mean over here? Shetolu Loi Levena Bitsavaroi, Besiv Loisam Di Israel. That in order to afflict him, it goes back on Paro. It goes back on Paro. Shetoluloi Levena Bitsavar. He told, there must have been a ceremony where they went out to the field, they collected straw, they made cement, they put the bricks, the straw into the cement, they made a brick, and then he instructed the Jewish people to pick up this heavy cinder block and to rest it on the shoulder of Paro. And when they rested the brick on the shoulder of Paro, Paro was visibly in pain. It was, oy, it's so heavy. His body gave out a kvetch. Leman, in order, anoso, he appointed the Sari Misim, the Jewish people, he told them, Leman anosoi, to afflict him, lefaro. Shetalu loy levena bitzavaro, he told the Jewish people to put the brick on his shoulder. And look, you see, I'm also willing to work in the field and do this manual labor. So you should not be any different. Something along those lines. All right. Avil Unkelis does not take a pshutoi. He learns Kamosha with Sivloisam. He just translates it. He just changes the tense. Blushing Yach, Blushing Ram. Okay. Then we go over here. Ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba'ba Kirvei beis oitzri, cities that are storage house facilities. Kavanasa, what does this mean over here? What does this mean? Shapari hemis alem livnos odim paro hemis. Hemis means he weighed down upon them. Hemis, what's a good translation for the word hemis? I don't have a good translation. In this context, it would mean over here he conspired, or he planned, or he weighed down heavy upon them. He enacted livnos odim uvahem to build many cities uvahem machsonim. Storage facilities in these story are for shasham yotzru hatavua. Now he's saying something very important, that what exactly did they store in these storage facilities? They built two massive cities. Ari miskon means storage. What did they store? Mummies, all the dead bodies. Mummies, a lot of mummies in power in Egypt. Did they store in these cities gold and silver? Did they store imaginary bitcoins, cryptocurrency? What exactly did they store in these cities? So the Ma'atzari tells us they stored grain. I know people want to say, is there any truth to this? I don't think there's any truth. They want to say that the pyramids. Ramayevsky, he knows all about this. Ramayevsky, the time period of when were the pyramids built? Is there any correlation between when the pyramids were built and when the Jews were enslaved in Egypt in Pisum v'Ramses? I think there's no correlation. If I'm not mistaken, the time period when they built the pyramids has nothing to do with someone who was very sloppy. Maybe there is truth. I don't remember. I really have no idea. Once upon a time, maybe I read something about this. I don't remember anything. But maybe if someone was very, very sloppy, you'll look at the pyramids, one of the big wonders of ancient civilization. How in the world were they able to build these massive pyramids, the pyramids of Paro? And some will tell you, you know who built those pyramids? We built those pyramids. These were the pyramids of Pisum v'Ramses. I once saw a documentary, but you can probably get on YouTube. It's utterly mind-boggling how they built these pyramids. It's just not to be believed. the number of people, the amount of labor that was necessary in ancient times without modern technology to build these pyramids. They make these calculations of how many people needed to participate to make such a pyramid. How much labor went into this. Some will say, well, who else would have done this if not for the Jews who were slaves? Is there any truth to that? I don't know. I don't think so. But you never know. You never, never really know. Who's the one who built those pyramids? It's interesting probably to go study these pyramids, what they're all about. So it says over here that what would they store in these storage facilities? Now we know today that what are stored in the pyramids? Mummies. I think, isn't that true? Most of the pyramids that there are in Egypt today, there are dead bodies in those pyramids. That's what's in there. So L'chor, that's not, we didn't build those, because here it says they stored, we'll have to see Chazal, is grain. Miskenois hu loshen oitzer kemoi, u miskenois litvuas dogon vitirosh in divrei hayomim. It says the beferish. They built their storage facilities of grain. Uparo yizokel zel achzik achoymeish shel tuas mitzrayim. Why did Paro need this? This is the irony. See, this really something is an amazing irony of life. Who was the one that instituted that there should be a fifth? That everyone in Egypt, we learned yesterday, was an oris, a sharecropper, and every single person in Egypt owned state-owned land. And they would work the land, they would keep for themselves four-fifths, and they would give the government one-fifth. Who was the one who instituted?
Yosef.
It was Yosef. So here the Jews are building storage facilities to store the product of Egypt that their own ancestor, Yosef, created. So the Jews, this is an incredible technique. This is a psychological technique. Every Jew, every morning he woke up in the morning and went to work as a slave, what did he say to himself? That, you know whose fault this is? It's Yosef's fault. Because if Yosef would not have instituted this policy where every person in Egypt should be a sharecropper and they should give a 20% tax of grain to the Malchus wouldn't have anything. Then there would not be any Fort Knox, there would not be any pyramids, whatever this, there would not be any of these storage facilities to store the grain. Everyone would keep whatever they keep for themselves. Everyone, it would be a capitalist society. Everyone keeps whatever they keep for themselves. So whose fault is this? Why are we slaves? Because there's 20% surplus, it goes to the government. The government needs a place to keep it, so they make us build these storage facilities, all because of Yosef's economic policy. So they curse Yosef every single day. Our slavery is all your fault. You should have created another type of economic system where there would not be the need for the common man to deliver to the government, to deliver 20%. And what did they do when they resented what Yosef, their ancestor, did for them? They in turn would reject everything that Yosef stood for. Yadus, religion. Yosef was a tzaddik. Yosef a tzaddik. Yosef was the ben zikunim of Yaakov Avinu. By building the storage facilities that were necessary only because Yosef created an economic system where the common man would have to give the government 20%, and the Jews now had to be the slaves to achieve, it created an enormous resentment towards their own Zayda. And they then began to reject Yosef. And by rejecting Yosef, they rejected everything that he stood for. And they gave up their Yadus. That was Paro's plan. Paro was an evil genius. He knew exactly what he was doing. He says, "Asher lo yoda es Yosef." We learned yesterday in the Targum. First, what did Paro say? Yosef instituted in the land no slavery. It was illegal.
It was part of the Constitution. No, we're going to repeal this part of the this article of the Constitution. We're going to this no. We're going to permit slavery. We're going to a new amendment to the Constitution. Slavery is permitted. For what purpose? To enslave the Jews. The Jews were not quick to be enslaved. Power was very clever. He worked together with them. He got out to the field, and he put on his war clothing, his boots, and he told the Jews to put on his shoulder the king, the most powerful man in the world, Paro, Melech Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was the superpower of the world. He told the Jews, put on my shoulder a 50-pound cinder block. Put on my shoulders. And Paro was afflicted by carrying this heavy. When they showed this online and they sent this clip WhatsApp to the whole Klal Yisrael, who didn't have WhatsApp those days? Every yukel had WhatsApp. They saw the clip of Paro carrying on his shoulder a 50-pound cinder block. And who was putting on the cinder block? A firm guy. So, we also have to participate in the process, of working and building. And what was it all for? To build the storage facilities that's going to store the grain 20%? And then they would come to resent Yosef, and then they would abandon Yosef and their legacy. This Paro was an evil genius. He knew exactly what he was doing every step of the way. Okay. We hear nothing new today. The people are very evil. They know how to get away with everything. You see that all the time. They know how to get away with everything. They're very clever. Evil, you know. It's a real life is not like the comic books. In the comic books, they always present the forces of evil and the forces of good. And at the end of the day, who wins? The good wins. Superman, at the end of the day, will always win over Lex Luthor. Batman will always win the Joker. Right? All the comic books, the DC comic books, when it's all over, who wins? The good guy wins. The forces of good prevail over the forces of evil. But that's not reality. That's not the way the world is. The world of reality, the force of evil, they win. They win. I mean, they don't win ultimately in the end of days. But in the meantime, over many generations, it's a very frightening thing. Evil is a very powerful force in this world. It's a very frightening reality. Power over here for 86 years. It's a long time. 86 years, Jews were slaves, crushing labor, avodas perach, and 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died. They died in Egypt. Paro succeeded in according to Rashi. Rashi learns that Paro succeeded in basically eliminating 4/5 of the Jewish people. You're not going to say that's a win. It's interesting. What's also, you know, it's very interesting is that the number fifth, Rashi says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. 1/5. Who's the one that instituted the policy of a fifth? Yosef. Yosef instituted that everyone should own land and everyone should give to the king 1/5.
Do you see the from the pasuk V'chamishi so Yosef olu? What a coincidence that is.
V'chamishi so when you
have to give a fifth.
A fifth, right. It's also
but the words V'chamishi so Yosef
olu. Yosef olu, fascinating. Wow. Yosef, fascinating. That's right. Those two words go together. Yosef right. was the one who instituted the policy of a fifth.
Is that a zecher or a remez?
I don't know, but you just said it is. It has to be. It's not a coincidence. It's a very fascinating thing. You know, even, you know, today, I mean, I don't, you know, they say in economics, it's accepted. It's widely accepted economics, 20% is a very big number in economics. Like they were talking about the deficit. If the deficit of the country exceeds 20% of what is it called? The GD, what is it called? The GD the growth annual
GDP. GDP.
GDP. The GDP.
That's where we're headed.
That's a sakana. That can result in the collapse of the economy. 20% is a number, a very significant number in the world of economics, which economists pay very close attention to when looking at, you know, credit and debt and loans. It's a very big number. Yosef was
we
a
also
big,
have Amavazvez, Alivazvez,
Yosef Echomesh. Yosef Echomesh, exactly. Who, but where's the first person in the world that acknowledged this number? Yosef. My father was an economist. My father was very, very fascinated with Yosef. To analyze, you go like see over here, what's going on over here. You delve very, very deep into Yosef's economic policies. What was he trying to do in Egypt? Egypt, there's all these psukim at the end of Parashas Vayechi. So these are very mystical psukim. They come, they say they don't have food, they come to Paro, they sell their animals.
That's Vayigash.
I'm sorry, Vayigash. They sell their animals, they sell their land, they say Hechi Yisanu. We just read through it and we translate it very loosely.
Isn't it a mystery how they, by the end of the second year, they ran out of food?
Yeah. What's going on?
And the Abarbanel explains why.
What does he say?
That because everybody was selling on the black market to all the countries for Chalaretz, Bo, Mitzrayim. And so people were gouging. The Mitzrayim didn't store it up to save. They started gouging all the people that came and didn't want to go all the way to Yosef to get their food. So they bought from local people who just got rid of all their extras. And then they had nothing left for themselves.
The Barbanel would be
the scope of what was going to happen.
The Barbanel would be the first one to know because he was the Minister of Finance for Spain. So he was the world renowned expert in economics. He had multiple doctorates in economics.
He did it for three countries.
So the Abarbanel, there's no one that knew better, and certainly the Abarbanel, to study the Abarbanel on Yosef would be fascinating to really get an appreciation of economics. But here you see, here you get a little taste over here in what's going on over here is the cruelty of the irony of what's going on. Let's finish over here. So they build over these cities, they kirve base or trade kavlos, a power him Islam this very misknois. Let's kill siv. Okay, that's it. We did the whole thing over here. One more line. But ula ledas onkelis. Here we're up to one more line. Ledas onkelis ha ois mem bemila miskinois balit sayin mokoyim. Very, very interesting. The word mem. You have a word and you have the word mem. The word, the letter mem, in the beginning of a word, it's like a man, a woman. The m. What is the m? The m is a whole word. The miskinois, balit and mokoim, it's a whole word. Kemohois mem b'mikdash, who also mokoim kodosh. I never knew that. You ever know that before? Mikdash, we have a base ha mikdash. What does that mean? A bias that is a mokoim kodosh. It's kedai for the whole shir tonight, just for this. The base ha mikdash is a bias that is a mokoim of Kodosh, that is holy. That's what the mem stands for in the word mikdash. So too, when it says miskinois, it means a makoim of sama chofnun, sochein. Sochein means storage. A makoim or mikoimois in this context of sichonois, of a place of storage. He makoim, just like the word mikdash, who makoim kedusha, who is mem, and the oisel of what's about the mishkan? It's the makoim that shochan, that Hashem dwells. The makoim that Hashem, he makoim shchin of oid. So therefore, the Targum over here, when he says over here, what does he mean to say? Then what then does he mean over here to say? What is he trying to say over here with that idea? It says over here miskanois lefaroi. He says uvenoi they built orei cities, orei kirvei base. Oitzrei lefaro. So Lechoyer is coming to explain why he's eating the word base. A bias is the mokoim. They built cities, uvenoi, kirvei cities, and these cities, in these cities, or these cities themselves, where the base was the mokoim of the soichen, of storage, lefaro. Yos Pisim Yos Ramses.
How did Rashi, let's go back to Rashi, what did Rashi over here say? What was the tax? Ori mitzvos kitargumai. Okay, so Rashi over here says, ditto. Whatever the Targum said, you can trust him here. That's very rare for Rashi to be so generous. It soichen means gizbar. The word soichen is the gizbar hamamune, the person al ha'itzaros. Okay, piece of Ram says shlocha yirusal b'tchila. No one's coming to elaborate upon this. What does piece of Yisram says? Why did Rashi need to say this? I don't know. These were placed shlocha yirusal b'tchila kach asum chazakos b'tzus la'itzer. They made them strong, fortified them, where they're now fit for storage. Okay, we'll stop over here. It's late. Thank you very much for joining me. Have a wonderful evening, Rabbi Sai. All the best to everyone. Don't go to Washington, D.C. Stay home. Don't follow mayor.
Why did they... when Yosef gave his proposal to save the food, they must have built Eishra's then?
Yeah, that's correct.
So, when Paro,
so we have to assume they need more.
Later, he did it 80 years later, right?
I guess they had more. They needed more, or maybe the cities that they made originally were no good. They were not good. They wanted better cities. You're right. What happened to those cities? If they had cities that Yosef created to store the grain,
as he created the way, I read somewhere, I don't remember, that the big idea that Yosef did was that he kept the food that he stored together with the earth a little bit. So it
shouldn't run. Right.
It's so Ramsey,
you're gonna keep a place, if you're going to do a thing like that, you're not going to build a closed city. You'll put on shelves, you know. Like you go to Home Depot, you see
this had to be a fortified. This had to be fortified. This is like Fort Knox, the storage facility. And by the way, Pisom was very far away from Ramses.
But that was much later. Pisom and Ramses was 80 years after Yosef died, right?
Yeah,
well, we don't know. It says by even Ari Miskinos the Faro, we don't know when that was built.
No!
It was built a long time before. Pisom was where today Eritrea is. It's all the way down the coast.
But this was built when you had the new Paray came in.
Hey, you don't know.
Makes more sense, you know. You need a Pisom and Ramses if you say it's in Eritrea, because it was at the border and you needed to protect it.